thank you, everyone, for joining in my celebration. As many of you know, I ate my twin sister in utero. So, on my birthday, I try to remember I'm a winner. This one's for you, Connie. And a one, a two, a chang, 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 four.
You with me there, man?
I got you, man. I got your back.
I need it right now, Howard.
I'm here for you, man. That's why I'm here on Friday night. Friday night for my boy doing radio.
I was going to pretend this was live, but okay. This is a Friday night recording.
This is live and uncut. Bringing it to you Saturday, 3 p.m.
We fooled them. They've been duped. Well played, sir.
Nah, I actually do plan to drop a couple of F-bombs later to make you have to go back and edit some of this.
So. I'm not going
to
edit it. You're welcome. So I'll just have a spicy treat Saturday for all the kids listening.
Get ready. I'm gonna sing my version of Marvin's Room.
I'm in for it. Because apparently all the kids love public access. They don't do YouTube. They don't do Facebook. They don't do Twitter. It's public access that needs to be kept clean. Welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today is Howard Hyland. I don't know if we're supposed to keep your name off the air, but we don't anymore. I don't want to.
Believe it or not, actually, I did notice today that some of the people I went to law school are now following you. So
really?
You're starting to get into the postgraduate level. Yeah.
That's pretty hot. I can tell you about how having my website in papasbasement.com has backfired on me.
Oh.
Yeah. Recently, it cost me a locksmith job. Locksmithing, of course, how I pay the bills, because radio is a dying medium, and I've been out of it for 6 months now, something like that. And a very annoying broad, I believe, of the Uden descent. I could be wrong, though. And it doesn't really matter what her background was. Green could be anyone. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Green with an E at the end. I don't know if it's an extra E for extra Semitism or what green with an E denotes. But Miss Green asked me what my prices were. And I responded with, how much my locksmithing services would cost her. And she got back to me and she was like, okay, and who's coming to my house and do they have a license and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, it's my company. I would be the one coming to your house. Let's turn off the computer because it's done playing Ace of Spades. But any minute now, it'll start playing the beep that says, hey, John, you have a porn virus, which doesn't work so well on the air. So that can eat me. But Miss Green Googled my name because any email that comes to the locksmith website goes to my John V. Papagiorgio email address.
No, okay.
Why did I give that out? God. Don't care to edit anything. Have fun with it, kids. And she Googled my name based on that, and I guess Googled John Papagiorgio rape or something equally creepy.
Oh, my gosh.
Because she came back to me saying, John, I don't feel comfortable having you in my house, and then proceeded to link me to an article I did for Papa's Basement where I believe I displayed a picture that I took on the job in D.C. of a van that said, like, the Drape Kings or something like that. But the was cropped off, so it looked like the Rape Kings. So I guess she Googled John Papagiorgio rape and came back with this. Because, of course, any rapist makes a website post to brag about how they're rapists. That's how the rape game works. It's just like being a rapper, and you brag about your crime.
Right.
We rapists. Jeez. We get on blogs, and we brag about it. That's how it rolls. I got mad rape street cred.
I mean, she sounds like she might just be sensitive in general. And so, like, having you over...
I mean, that bridge is already burned, so she sounds like a dopey dumb bitch.
Right. I just think, like, even if she hadn't found that, Like, your ass just would have shown up.
I've never heard anyone try to crawl up my ass like this broad did to find out if I was safe.
Worst case, like, I'm sorry, best case
marathon
scenario.
Marathon man style, is it safe?
You just, it would have been a one and done. You ever get those one and done customers where it's
every,
just like,
every domestic
they meet
is a
you.
One and done. And I'm fine with that because I like taking their money.
All right.
I want to take their money. It was like $175 for doing 30 minutes of work. You know, something pretty sweet like that. And down the crapper. Because this dumb bitch Googles my name with rape. And I replied to her. I was like, I can understand. For the record, you have to be screened criminally to be a licensed locksmith,
yeah,
which
see,
I am.
Thing.
But have a nice life.
Because, I mean, locksmiths, like,
you can't
y'all
have
can't
a creep
make...
locksmith. There's a reason licensed locksmiths get their fingerprints run. What?
You don't become a locksmith to become a rapist. You become a locksmith to steal cars. I mean, that is like if I were a criminal. Because, I mean, I've called locksmiths. Actually, it wasn't me. I would have called you.
Thank
I had
you.
A friend call a locksmith one time, like
Fred's
AAA.
A piece of crap.
It was AAA, whatever. Like, they called AAA. They sent out a locksmith.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It was kind of a big deal for him to, like, let us watch him. Like, probably open the door. At first, he was trying to be a little discreet. He didn't want to let us know how sausage was made. But then, you know, we took a peek.
Everyone watches me. Are you kidding? That's, like, one of the more unnerving things of the job. I'm not saying I'm a surgeon or likening myself to that. The stakes of their job are a little higher. The worst I can do is shatter a Jetta's window.
Most people are watching you because they don't trust you. We were watching it because it's obvious.
Saying,
it's, like, midnight.
Can you imagine?
Everybody but the driver was drinking.
Oh, lovely.
And so, you know, we were just
story,
like, hey,
like,
what,
imagine,
how do I do that? Because I would love to steal cars. Like, whenever I'm not doing my day job, that seems like a fun enterprise. That's kind of like what I always thought locksmiths
were. I don't know why he'd be uptight in the least, because you need tools that, like, a civilian can't purchase, or they can on the internet now, but back in the day, they were restricted.
I don't think most of your viewers have seen me, especially after a couple of drinks, but I can be shady, especially if I have a tan.
A little bit.
Oh, gosh.
You can look like a dusky, criminal-hued being.
I got narco-terrorist written all over my face. It's
a little bit, yeah. Ambiguous ethnicity, assume the worst type stuff. But yeah, this broad Googled my name and rape. So I hope the next locksmith charges more and does rape her. There you go. That's for the clean show. I didn't use the F-bomb, so I can say whatever. I was seething. I was livid.
Yeah, that is.
I hope he rapes her pocketbook metaphorically and then rapes her snatch literally.
Jeez.
What a horrible being. What a horrible being she is.
All right.
I'm sorry. Like, really, I've got an entire profession where I'm breaking in. I cut your keys and I make a copy for myself and then I bust in and I rape y'all. Because it really wouldn't be transparent who raped you and or stole from you. No breaking and entering, and it was a week after I came to your house.
I would say it is not the ideal profession for being a serial rapist.
I mean, maybe a serial rapist would love to learn the tricks of the trade to, like, bust into a car and then just lie in the back seat, urban legend style, and then rise up and someone hits the high beams to knock him back down.
Yeah, I mean... I'm sorry about that, man. Just I say you got to stick with what
it
you're
really
doing.
It really salted me. I was chilling, eating a meal at a restaurant with a friend, and I'm very ADD, so I'm on my phone every 30 seconds, and I checked my email, and I got that, and I just had a mouthful of sushi, and I was like, oh, that effing C. That effing bitch. Just so pissed. Ruined my meal, half my day.
I truly hope that she visits your website every day now and downloads this.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be effing great.
Yeah.
And I just want her to know that she's the only person I hate. Pretty much every one of my customers before her, I've never had an issue with. They pay me. I do good work for them. Everyone's very professional. But you, Miss Green, not going to give out your first name because people start hunting you down. You're a bitch and you're stupid. That would make you a stupid bitch. And because you're a stupid bitch, you could have noodled that one out. But that's what you are. You stupid bitch. So there. I'm glad I got to get that out. That's what this episode's going to be. I've had a lot a lot percolating inside, man, for a while now.
It's been a week. It's been a heck of a week.
Yeah,
that's why
it's been a tough damn week. And that was a nice little bit that helped sour it. Why are there people at the door right now looking in? It's fine. They're all just, I guess they're taking the tour. It's God, that really was creepy. But we're past that. They're all sticking their snouts into other doors now.
Okay.
You can go back.
I was like,
it was like,
are they listening in the hallway? Because I know sometimes it's out there.
I prayed it. That is really what was making me paranoid. But I was like, I didn't issue any racial slurs, you know, that kindly black family would have no issue.
It suddenly felt like we were in elementary school again. It's like, oh man, we're gonna get in trouble.
I know. I mean, what the hell?
Oh, Ms. Nordstrom found out. No!
Heard me calling her a fat bitch. Oh, Scotty Nordstrom. Damn sixth grade teacher. What a twat. All of our teachers. I'm trying to remember our four GT, or you only had two.
I only
gifted
did two
and talented.
With you, yeah. Yeah.
I had all four.
Yeah.
We had third grade. There was Mrs. Seiko. She remarried. Who was just a bitch to the boys and loved the girls. I hate any teacher with that attitude. If you're a teacher and that's how you roll, F you. Guys don't need that at a young age. I don't care if you think we're full of puppy dog tails and gin or however that rhyme goes. You're a bitch. I'm in an angry mood this show. The only one I liked was Miss Peasley.
That was when I came in.
Who was pretty much Mrs. Krabappel.
I was thinking she was Bea Arthur from Golden Girls.
A little bit of that.
Yeah.
A little bit of this. Just smoked a lot alone. I think was a decent drinker.
Yeah.
Based on her countenance. Yeah. Best teacher I've ever had.
I think so.
I loved Miss Peasley like a mother.
Yeah.
God bless you, Miss Peasley. I think you're still around. I hope.
Yeah, it'd be cool to look her up. I'm still not at the point in my life where I can actually go back and thank the teachers that influenced me because I'm an ingrate. I haven't got to that point in my life.
No one influenced me a lot. That's maybe a problem in my life. None of my teachers had a very profound effect on me. I just liked some of them as people. And so if I liked them as people, I did well in their classes. But no one, I was like, I didn't take like dick jokes 101. Or how to host a crappy podcast that gets no traffic.
Yeah, because you did newspaper, but you were antagonized constantly by that teacher. I don't remember her name, right?
Oh, Mrs. Dixon. No, we got along decently. It never clicked to me that I wanted to do the newspaper.
She just kind of got out of your way when you did your column, right?
Yeah, I would show up literally the day it was due, like after school, and just write it and then go home.
Yeah. See, but, I loved, like, I never would have thought when you were doing that in high school, like, quite literally, this thing called the internet was going to allow you to
do the same thing. Like my little columns, yeah.
For the rest of your life.
I mean, it has turned into a livelihood, yeah. So it is what it is. It needs to. That's what needs to happen. That's part of what's been chewing at me like a cancer, man.
We're going to make it happen, man. We got to get your name out there. You got to go national.
I want it.
You got to stop scrabbing with the greens of the world. Like, whatever happened to Scott Bakula, you know? Come on, man. Bring it, son.
I got no celebrities that I actively feud with. I don't do that on Twitter. I kiss a lot of celebrity ass on Twitter. I try to talk to celebrities on there. I was doing pretty well with one. Oh, God. Well, first of all, David Alan Greer, of all people, is cool as hell on Twitter. If you need to pick me up, talk to Dag. I guarantee you Dag will reply once. Not twice, though.
Okay.
He doesn't want to let it get too familiar.
Right, yeah.
He'll reply, and he'll do a thoughtful reply, and then, you know, you're like, oh,
good
my God, he talked to me.
Good for
him. And
you
reply back. He'll never get that second reply. Dag's got too much class for that. But he's got enough class to do the first. I was also talking to this, one of the head writers for 30 Rock. I think his name's like Tom Cerullo or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know, like a mid-30s Italian guy. And he was like, we would go back and forth. He would reply once in a blue moon, but I was getting the favorite stars a lot from him on Twitter. And then randomly, I just tweeted something. He wasn't following me, so I thought nothing of it. But I guess he was checking out my tweets. Because I was like, if you give out more than 3 stars a day, you're a star slut. Stop spreading your legs or something like that. And I guess he caught it. Because I've never had a star again from Mr. Tom. That breaks my heart. But I need to start doing some kind of networking with the show. I hate it on almost any show I listen to when they have a guest. Even the best shows, Don and Mike. I love Don and Mike.
Right.
And they did such good work together. The only time that show was just a screaming pile of cluster F was like a guest. Because they weren't able to, like Howard Stern, say we're bigger than this guest and just tell him to F off.
Right. You do have to pander.
Yeah, and it was
you gotta hob the knob, basically. I hate listening to like people degrade themselves.
It was like two guys who prided themselves on like, we make the rules in this bitch. We're the rock stars of this show. And then any kind of B-lister even would come in. It's like, oh, good to see you, sir.
Yeah.
Shine your shoes. Sashu for you. Ta 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 ta. Little bit of song.
So tell me about your movie Battleship.
Yeah, exactly. Rihanna, your performance moved me. No, it's just like, it was horrible to hear them. And then maybe 2 weeks later, after there was enough distance where agents wouldn't be listening whatsoever, you would hear them, you know, let slide like, oh, what a piece of ass those people were.
Maybe,
like
only if they knew that that person was a falling star or they were never going to have him on the show again.
Yeah, that's it. And it was just so disingenuous. It was the one weak moment. I love Opie and Anthony right now. They're pretty good with a guest, but again, you're kind of like, it's not painful, but it's like, they're slowing you down for the most part. I want you guys. Stern was the only one, and his show now sucks, but he was always good with a guest in the day.
Right.
For whatever reason, because I guess he was just like very bold with even big names back then, and he could get away with it. And now it's like, oh, I'm going to have in Carmen Electra or Dave Navarro for the 20th time. Like one of the five celebs he can still pull. And it's so depressing. Oh, God, it's sad, Howard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he was able to, like, you basically had to prep at the height of Howard. Like, you had to prep to go on his show, and you had to go because turning him down was a mistake for your career.
No, he was so big in New York. And New York is just such a gigantic city. You win New York. That's like X amount of dollars, like a noticeable increase for your movie. Just New York alone. He was syndicated countrywide. But I'm saying, like, even just accounting for the fact he was such a ratings powerhouse in New York, you couldn't screw up and skip him.
And you had to be ready. I mean, he was
going
to bring it.
Yeah, he was going to try to press your buttons and rattle you. And he kind of, it's almost like a serial killer type thing where everything's ritualized. It's like, I'm going to break you down. We're going to talk about the masturbating. If you're a famous guy, I'm going to ask about all the famous or not famous women you sleep with. It was just, you know, if you're a famous chick, like, oh, have you ever blown a non-famous guy, blah, blah, blah. What's the hardest you ever busted a nut? Yeah. And it was very easy to get rattled, and I think you had to appear cool on his show for him to want you back. You had to roll with the punches.
Yeah, and I remember there's just this fine line of you can either seem, oh, that person is just uptight, I don't ever want to see anything else they're in. Screw them. On the flip side of it, you could be a total jerk, like putting other people's business on like full blast when it's like, yo, you need to respect the code here. Like what happens in Hollywood stays in Hollywood. Like that kind of thing where people are saying, talking about relationships. Like I always think the guy from that 70s show who was banging Lohan, he said too much.
Oh, Fez.
I think that hurt his career, honestly, because it just sounded like he was the dude who was bragging
about dishing
about it.
Everyone he banged? Because he was banging so much, like, tier one young kitty in Hollywood. It was amazing, the streak he was on. I remember so little of what, Wilder Valderrama. I don't know what the F his name is.
He ain't the only guy that ever went on that show to do that kind of bragging, but the way he did it turned off like his legion probably of female fans, where it's like, I think he just went out.
Well, he's like so sweet and disarming as Fez. It's like, Fez wouldn't do anything. Look at his funny little accent. I just want to hug him.
Right. I mean, the thing with Howard, I always felt like you dropped like maybe one or two.
Yeah, enough.
It's got to be
like
somebody
some
who can take a joke.
Yeah.
Because like at that point, I think everybody kind of knew like, there's something wrong with Lindsay Lohan. There's something going on with her that, you know,
she
seems like...
See, I think back then, I was about to say that was the first sign anything was wrong because she was sleeping with a non-white. I'm such a piece of crap. I think like my mom who was raised 50 years ago.
Oh my God.
No. I don't know if back then when she was banging Fez, there were many like real red flags about her. I don't know when that started to come into play, honestly. You forget how young she is, too. Like, they can't. They probably kicked up at 16, 17.
It was like...
She's, like, 24 now, and she's been an effing train wreck for how long?
It was a little weird, because I think that was around the time she was 18. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
I think people probably been doing it for a long time, but she was one of the earlier memories I have of people counting down the days till 18. Because I think she made People's Beautiful People before she was 18.
Oh, God. I mean, just the mean girl. I would literally, if you brought in a Mean Girls cardboard cutout, I would have sex with it in front of you, and I wouldn't apologize.
I wouldn't probably watch.
Exactly. You'd quite bang one out just looking.
Move your head, John.
Yeah. You'd be like the guy watching Zed plow Marcellus Wallace. Yeah. Like, yeah. 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 And then Bruce Willis with Katana, my friend. Oh,
damn it. Oh, Bruce.
But she was great in that. Because first of all, who doesn't like a nice ginger? I'm sorry. Yeah. If you don't like a nice ginger, I don't know what to tell you. They're great.
More for us.
Yeah, exactly. I was so teased today in D.C. There was like six gingers. Five of them were just dumpster fires, which is kind of the ginger ratio. A lot of them are just putrid, but one hit, my friend. And she made my 90 minutes in traffic one way in that crap hole worth it. What an ass. What an ass. Almost killed a kid looking at that thing.
I get mad when girls don't have real red hair, though. Like, I find out after the fact, like, that ain't real. It's like, damn.
I mean, I would just be like, get out now if you don't want a cinder block to the small of your head.
So, the new Wendy's spokesgirl?
I haven't seen it. Did they literally get one that looks like Dave Thomas's daughter? How old must Wendy be now? That must be so depressing.
No. Oh, so they have a couple commercials with the old Wendy. She's like in her 40s.
Really?
I think she does enjoy eating like the family product.
Dude,
so.
Look at Dave Thomas. You think Dave Thomas's seed was going to be some piece of ass? Especially if he had Wendy early on, where it's just like him and a burger and a dream. He's like, don't worry, baby. This is going places.
I'm just saying they tried to have her come in after Dave, did a couple of spots. And
was it just depressing?
I was okay with it. I never really objectified Wendy based on her picture on the box. So
I'd grab her by the pigtails. I'd rock that face hole.
All right. Well, at any rate,
Hamburglar.
I think
watch.
Most people are in your view of things where it's they were basically offended by her presence because they imagined Wendy being this like this hot young
live little thing in a lime green dress on a summer day. Yeah, go on.
So, you know, I think
Oops,
they did some test audiences.
I'll bend over and pick it up.
And they just said, you're out. Like, you might be the CEO, but
who
you're
cares?
Killing our
you're,
sales.
Yeah, you're horrible in front of a camera. Like, I'm trying to remember who should have... the Purdue guys, those were creepy as hell.
Those were creepy.
I mean, I guess they worked, but they were spooky. Were they real? Were those the actual Purdue dad and son? I would assume so.
I mean, they were just, I think they were probably
who
like
would
limited.
Pick actors that looked like that if not?
Yeah. They're just limited shareholders trying to, anyway. Getting back to Wendy, they got a new actress. She looks.
Purdue Bergs.
She looks like Allison Hannigan. Is that her name?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, the flute and her puzzy.
Yeah, her.
Bandcamp, yeah.
Looks a lot like her.
Okay, sure.
Looking pretty good.
Allison Hannigan was always like pedestrian ginger. So, I don't think real either, by the way. Maybe she is. I don't know.
But at any rate, like, long story short, she's a friend of a friend of mine on Facebook.
Who, new Wendy?
Girl. Yeah.
No kidding. How old is she?
Well, she's married. She's like 28, but...
She's still a woman. Still has needs.
Here's the real problem. This is like the killer for me. Not a real redhead.
Oh, she can die then.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, imposter. What's up? I'm going to check it out. I was like, oh, she's married. Well, that's kind of lame. Oh, she's not a real redhead. Why am I even looking at this?
Is she just a blonde? Now, there's two types of fake redhead. There's the, like, really milky white blonde, and you could kind of, like, just paste on the red hair, and no one's going to bat an eye. Like, Christina Hendricks, blonde. Right. But you see her as a ginger. It's like, she's got that corpsey white look. Right. She could be a ginger. It doesn't really... I hate it when it's, like, someone that obviously isn't a natural redhead. Like, if you're a Latina, don't go red. If you're Asian, don't go red. If you're Italian, don't go red. It just looks ridiculous. I mean, you hate it. right? Or does it, to me, it's an act of turnoff if you're not, if you can't look like a real redhead. I don't get the point.
At least they're not trying to deceive you. You know what you're getting.
Okay.
Black chick with red hair. I mean, that's just, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all had a good laugh.
I mean, I don't think she's trying to like pretend she's Blake Griffin or nothing, you know? Like, I really think she's just doing it because it's like, basically, just to flip, you know, the perspectives, like, whenever I see a black dude in sports who dyes his hair blonde.
Yeah. The Rodman.
Yeah. It's a sign to me that he's probably really good at his sport. Otherwise, he would have gotten his ass beat already. You can't do that unless
he's good. He's peacocking a bit.
Yeah. It's just like, hey, just wait till you see me play. If I'm walking around like this, just you wait till I hit the pitch. I mean, because it's big in Europe. Like any black dude who plays soccer in Europe with blonde hair.
Oh, God, the demolition man.
They're just going to rock it, man. No, it's bad. I mean, you got to be like a villain worthy of playing opposite Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
I mean,
getting your frozen
big
head kicked off in the end.
You got to write a book, Bad As I Want to Be. I mean, God,
Dennis Rodman.
I feel bad for him now. He's just.
Why? Why? He is everything you thought Dennis Rodman would be living the way he did.
I thought he was going to be more creative. Like, I thought he was going to get out there, be kind of an artist. It just turns out he's like screwing hoes, getting wasted,
yeah,
like showing up on celebrity rehab. And I feel bad for him.
You thought he was kind of real deal. Like he could hang without attention. Like guys like that, though, they need the stream of attention that they got and they're not able to earn it on their own, if that makes sense. Like what they do personality wise is not going to keep the attention. And they think it is, but it's like, no, we care because you rebound like a mother.
Yeah.
Not because you act like a damn tool.
So you don't feel bad now for like all the NFL players when you suddenly realize like it really would be terrible to be 40 thinking you're a god and then realizing your life is over. You're never going to have the same respect you did when you were like in your physical prime.
Dude, you can feel bad for anyone in a moment, I suppose, if you want to just look at them without perspective, without their past. Like you would sympathize if you just went into Berlin 1945.
Yeah.
And saw Hitler having to like kill his woman and kill his dog, and he's got the Russians on his ass. That's a pathetic figure. You'd be like, oh, without any idea of how this happened, this poor man, look at what he's having to do. And all these people are trying to kill him. Why, Hitler? Why? You have a smart little mustache and uniform. Who could hate you? You scale it back a couple years, you're like, okay. All makes sense now. So a dude who's like 40, I mean, I feel bad if you're a physical wreck because, again, in the heat of the moment, you're doing what's going to make you money. You're doing, if I'm coming out of the ghetto and you're like, you can be a running back. It'll pay like a million something a year for 5 years. You're like, yes, please. You can have sex with white women. Yes. You know, I mean, check, check. And then, you know, 50, you're having to stoop over the side of your walker to take a crap into a bag. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I feel bad necessarily. It gave you a different life arc with like different upsides and different downsides.
Yeah, I never really realized that the downsides were as bad as they are. That's the thing I never thought. I just figured.
What's really weird to me is that everyone's harping on the concussion thing in the NFL. Like it's the big new thing. SI, I remember back, God, 95 and stuff, was doing article after article on big-ass linemen who were, like, using walkers by 50, 45, stuff like that.
That's bad. Like, everybody forgot about Earl Campbell. Like, I represent for Earl Campbell because he went to University of Texas.
Yeah.
People don't even remember who that is, really. And it's just like, I think the guy gave up part of his spine to football.
Yeah.
He won the rushing title 3 consecutive seasons. I mean, the guy's a beast. Unbelievable. Really might, like, I think Jim Brown considers him to possibly have been
be a peer
as good.
Yeah.
It was just, his body got wrecked.
I'll always wonder, was Jim Brown that good or were the defenses that white?
No, dude. Like, you need to watch some old footage.
Was he just a battering ram?
Yeah. And, like, here's the thing. Like, the guys who would tackle Jim Brown, I mean, it's not like football today. They used to line the sidelines with mattresses because you could hit on the sideline And it was basically expected that you're probably trying to drive the guy into the wall of the stadium. That's why they had to put these mattresses down so that the guys could, like, purposely, as they're getting hit out of bounds, fall on the mattress so they didn't crash into a wall.
I did not know that.
No, dude. The NFL was so rugged. It was ridiculous that he was able to play as long as he did. Nobody.
He did not have the longest career, though, because he got into a contract dispute with the Browns, right? And he was already filming movies. He's like, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah, he got a better deal out of, what was that? What was that movie? I can't remember. Magnificent Seven. What was the movie? I feel bad. I don't remember the name of it. But
oh, crap.
NFL players used to have off-season jobs.
Dirty Dozen? Was he Dirty Dozen?
I cannot remember, man.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, the Hollywood contract was a better deal for him than playing the NFL. And he'd already done 9 years.
Back then, NFL paid jack. Like, in the off-season, guys were, like, gym teachers and movers and
yeah,
lifeguards.
I mean, he made okay money just because he was dominant.
Yeah.
Like, there had never been anybody before him that had 300 carries in a season. Like, he was the first guy. Like, nobody used to do that.
That is pretty insane.
And so, actually, like, honestly, when he retired, people were like, we don't know if anybody else will ever do this again. And it took a minute because he retired at 65. Next guy to do it was OJ in the 70s. And so it was like a decade. One other guy does it. And that's when Walter Payton and Earl Campbell show up on the scene. And then suddenly you start seeing more running backs who can do it. But basically it was like OJ was the only guy that followed
a Brown.
It was
like a once a decade thing. And now like the running back in the NFL doesn't even matter.
Well, I mean, that's just... I hate the NFL, man. I can't watch the game anymore. Like
really,
they just turned
the whole
it into ballet
thing. Yeah,
it's ballet.
A lot of people
man.
Say that
it's
man.
Patty cake with the secondary. I love hearing. Say what you will about Chris Carter, but he was talking about playing in the '80s and the difference between playing like late '80s versus like end of his career, which was like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, you know, back in the day, you just wanted to catch the ball because you were gonna get decked. And he was saying the reason Jerry Rice was the greatest receiver of all time was that he was the only guy in the 80s who had yards after catch. Like, there was no such thing as that.
No one had really digested that.
Because you just got the ball and waited to get just knocked in the head. Like, everything is now illegal to a receiver.
Yeah.
You knew it was going to come. Like, linebackers for anything less than 10 yards, even if it was like 12 yards, they were going to try to take your head off. Free safeties. Like, basically, the cornerback just like, kept you in front of them so the free safety could come and rip your head off. I mean, it was bad. So that's why, like, Jerry Rice suddenly was like, oh, he caught the ball and he eluded everybody on the field. He's not a fast guy, but he learned how to cut and, like, preserve his body so that he was in the best shape of anybody on the field. He played as well at the end of the fourth quarter as he did, like, on the first snap of the game. And that's why he was better than everybody else.
It's weird, man.
No, it's a crazy game. And that's why, like, They ruined it. Because, I mean, like, when people always complain about Lynn Swann's numbers in the Hall, and maybe he don't deserve to be in the Hall because his numbers are kind of lame, but every play I ever watched of him that was like, hey, this guy deserves to be in the Hall, he makes this insane catch. He just makes, like, a catch you didn't think was humanly possible. And then he just got plowed at the, like, a moment of contact. And it's like, how do you hang on to that?
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's Lynn Swann being, like, one of the best receivers in the 70s, where it's like, he made an amazing catch before he got slammed.
It is a different game. I mean, they're really trying to take the contact out. I don't think people will abandon the game over that necessarily, though. Because it's still watchable. It's still a great product.
But don't let the sunshine fool you, man. I'm telling you, like, the biggest problem with it is they are engineering it so that the defenders will continue to be absolute garbage. Like, the next generation's Ray Lewis probably needs to find another sport just because there's no incentive to be a good linebacker anymore. I just don't see, like, the thrill of not being able to hit somebody anymore. So, like,
well,
I think
a defender, that's all you got.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like,
now,
if all you can do really is, like, wrestle someone to the ground and not just really try to knock their spine out of their asshole.
Yeah, it's just, it's so hard to watch. I feel bad for all the guys in defense that I love to watch. You know, like, Ray Lewis is just awesome to watch. And, like, that's it. I don't think anybody else is going to be able to do what he does. Like, I don't think we'll ever see another one like him just because I would rather. I don't know what other sports, like, guys who are built like that can play, though, is the problem.
By Ray Lewis, you mean a murderer, right?
No,
Someone who stabbed a man.
Did he stab? I thought he just, like, ordered his bodyguards to kill two people.
I really don't know how it worked. It was very shady how he was in the proximity of, like, what was it? It was right after the Super Bowl MVP, correct?
It was the Super Bowl before he won the Super Bowl. So, like, he went...
Oh, no kidding. I thought it was after. I think it was, like, right after he got it.
That's the part of his story that nobody ever wants to talk about, but I think it'd be a great movie. You got a guy who ended up Super Bowl, like, I think it was Elway's second. So I think it went Broncos won 2 years and then the Ravens won one.
Okay.
All right. So the second time, Elway
and
the Broncos.
God bless Elway for quitting after that second one, by the way. Who goes out on top like that? That was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool.
Because you're so old and he wanted one so long, you could have easily seen how he would just be blinded and just be like, dude, give me a third. We can do this. One more. And had he done it, don't get me wrong, that I think you might have called him the best quarterback of all time. I don't know. Maybe not. He had those losses on the resume. They lost with Elway in the Super Bowl.
Those teams were so terrible, though.
Two or three times.
Those teams should not have been in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's exactly like the time Marino took the Dolphins, and Marino never had weapons. Marino had such a dysfunctional team around him. It was just the strength of Marino.
I really do not like him. There's an arrogance that goes with being Dan Marino that just always made me want to kill white people.
I've heard
did I say that?
It's all right. Whatever.
It's like him.
Make a strong ending to
whenever,
the show.
Whenever Kurt Warner used to get hit, I feel bad now because, like, with the whole Saints bounty thing, like, I see Kurt Warner getting hit by the Saints in that game where he got knocked out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I guess they did have a price on his head.
Oh, for
that's
me, it's the damn NFC Championship when, like, they were slugging around Favre. And
see,
his
like
damn
Favre,
line
though.
Was like, I love Favre. Are you kidding me? I stick up
Favre's
for him.
Favre's
like, amazing. Yeah. I hate anyone who gives any crap to Favre. Where it's like, oh, you said you're retired. Stay retired. Shut up. You're an insurance adjuster. Your life and job suck. No one cares what you do either way. This is a guy playing the greatest sport on earth, as far as I'm concerned. Best position. If he wants to come back, who the F wouldn't want to come back to that? Oh, he sent his dick to Jen Sturger. Have you seen Jen Sturger? Yeah, she looks like a whore, but it's awesome. I mean that like in a positive sense.
I do like that
positive sense.
I do like though that Favre has replaced the verb for sexed, like
Favre
to Favre somebody.
Yeah, for me it'd be like I Favre'd, it'd be a hog picture. Send her a couple Favre JPEGs.
But yeah, man. Every time Kurt Warner used to fall, like drop back, I was waiting for somebody just like smack the crap out of him.
Why exactly?
I hated that guy. I just always like.
I always hated his spooky wife, that Susan Powder
kinda,
looking broad.
I mean, he's better now. Like, I think I got over it. But back in the day, it was just like, he was the great white hope. He had this story of, I was bagging groceries, and now I'm playing quarterback, and I had one good, maybe two, questionably three good seasons. What bothers me is, like, people say he's like, oh, he's got to go to the Hall of Fame.
I'm down with him going to the Hall. I know you're not.
But if you gave him Mike Vick's backstory, nobody would be saying that. If it was like, oh, he ended up like fighting pit bulls and like that's why his career was shorter instead of he was bagging groceries because he had kids and was playing arena football. I mean, it bothers me that he gets in there.
You don't think a dude who wins one bowl and gets you to two others with and especially with the second team in the mix?
I think Falk is one of the greatest players in NFL history and he basically enabled the good years for Kurt Warner. And that third Super Bowl he went to, that team was 9-7. I really hated both those teams.
I hate the Steelers. Yeah. I was rooting like a mother for the Cardinals. When the Steelers made that final catch, my heart sank, man.
Although, like, for me,
I really thought the Cards had it. And especially, God, what was it? Like, literally the last play before halftime, wasn't it like some turnover that was like an 80-yard touchdown?
I was just
going to
talk about that. It was a 100-yard interception return.
It was insane.
And to me, I was like, that play right there, I was so happy. Because I was like, I'm pretty sure that ends any talk of Kurt Warner going to the Hall of Fame. Because he blew it.
Well,
that's
was,
on him.
Was it that bad a throw on his part or what? I don't really remember the circumstances. I just remember thinking like, ugh.
Everything about that play stunk.
That'll knock the wind out of you.
Yeah, it should have gone to Edgerrin James.
See, I don't really. How old was Edgerrin for that game? Because his ass was gone like
he was gone like soon after that.
That was back when like, people still thought running backs were worth a damn. Like, you would acquire them off another team.
Man,
now it's like, has he had his glory year? That's it. That's all you're getting out of him.
Yeah, no, it's been bad since, like, Terrell Davis went out. Actually, no, I'll take it back. Like, the last time running backs mattered, it was that Edgerrin Ricky Williams draft. And was the year, like, so both those guys come out. Edge, like, ran like a banshee out of the gate, won two rushing titles.
Dude, now it's like, you had, oh, God, Who the hell was the number four pick for the Browns this year?
Oh, Wait, you mean the number three that traded up?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Trent.
Yeah.
Trent.
Okay.
Jim Brown called him ordinary.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I was gonna say. I was about to mention that earlier that he didn't like the new kid they got.
I mean, he's okay. I think he'll be good.
But like, people didn't even see why he would go that early, and they say the best prospect since who's little kid face for the Vikings?
Oh, AP.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson. They say he's probably the best since Peterson, and Peterson was, what, 4 years ago at this point?
I mean, but
like, you actually get an offense out of him, but short of that, no one gives a crap about the running game anymore.
Here's what running backs do, and I disagree. Here's the thing that running backs do now. And
all they do is draw away from, like, pass coverage. That's it.
No, what they do is they give you the out. This is what happened with Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner, and why the game has evolved this way is passing has gone forward as being the primary offensive tool. Mm-hmm. Running backs are pass receivers. They're your dump option. And so that's why LeSean McCoy just got a big contract extension today.
Yeah, was it 25 mil, 5 year, something like that?
It was big money. Yeah. I can't remember the numbers, but it has the potential to be worth $9 million a year.
God, I'm trying to remember the details. I just saw it on Pro Football earlier today.
You can never trust it because, like, the guaranteed versus what is, like, the dollar sign is
never
the
same.
Oh,
remember when we guaranteed Donovan McNabb's contract for another year?
Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah, it took about 4 days before people were like, wait, if they dump him at the end of this year, they owe, like, nothing.
Yeah, it was a joke. So that's why with running backs, LeSean McCoy is a guy who does a lot of pass catching. Your new running back model is 1,000 yards, maybe 200 carries per season, but you need 50 to 70 receptions. Like, you really need a guy who, like, pass catches. So that's why, like, Matt Forte is considered one of the best running backs today. And he's, like, decent coming out of the backfield, carrying the ball. But it's really because, I mean, the guy can average, like, 1,000 yards rushing, 500, like, receiving. I mean, it's him. It's Arian Foster went undrafted, and now he's considered a premier back.
That's a beast.
But, I mean, it's just he was undrafted, I mean, for many reasons. But I think ultimately one of the things is he now works for this style NFL because he's not required to carry the ball 300 times a season. Mm-hmm. It's more important that he catch the ball like 80. I mean, it's just you're looking at running backs who aren't old school. Like, you got MJD, you got AP. That's it. You're bringing this guy Trent Richardson in. I mean, he's okay. He's no Edgerrin James. We'll see what he does. Like, I think he's going to get some yardage. I just don't know how good he'll be because, I mean, he will never break away. To me, all right, he is Edgerrin James after his knee injury because Edge lost his breakaway speed. And I see Trent Richardson being a guy who, like, maybe a couple times a season he'll get a 20-yard run. But, I mean,
I'm interested to see him. I mean, that's just the beauty of the NFL, like, especially you follow the first, like, I want to say maybe the sexy position picks. You know what I mean? Like, I never care, like, what Khalil's going to do or whatever the fuck his name is that the Vikings took. Matt Khalil?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's
who
just
gives a shit if he's, whoops, going to have to bleep that. Who cares? Who cares if he, let me put the marker down for that so I can find it easily.
You got two of them, by the way.
What? Oh, did I say, like, bang, bang right in a row?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like how I didn't even recognize the second one. I'll go back and find him before.
No, you had an F-bomb, too.
When did I drop an F-bomb?
You dropped an F-bomb right before the S-bomb.
Okay, I thought I did. Like, yeah. It kind of cut through the fog. We'll fix all that.
Yeah.
I'll just put in a little sine curve bleep, and we'll be good. But, yeah, man, I like seeing who's Blackman, the best receiver in the draft. Principal Blackman.
Onyx.
Always Onyx Blackman. One of the best gags in TV.
One of great shows.
And of course, RG3.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate City. Chocolate City meets the Pentagon right there.
RG Leaf. Hopefully not.
Oh, that's good. I haven't heard that one. God. That's funny.
That's on the Pro Football Talk comments everywhere. Oh, RG man. Leaf. I hate it. And luck. But yeah, man. Now I just want the season to start. That'll cheer me up.
See, and I hate to admit it, but I'm going to watch football too. I'm so angry at what they've done to football. It upsets me greatly. And all I want to do now is I want to see, like, I don't know. I just, one of my favorite things, like I said, going back to Kurt Warner, like, every time he would get smacked while he was, like, at the height of his accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I jumped out of my chair, threw a fist, and was like, whack that cracker.
It was Rams team. How old was he?
Like, and now I just look at, like, oh, Peyton Manning. Like, you can't touch him.
Yeah.
You have to, like, kind of push him. You're not allowed to hit him late. That's not why I watch football. I want to see a quarterback get punished for being white.
See,
that's why I watch football.
I think less and less you're going to see that straight up, and less people even miss it. That's what it's really becoming.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think it's registering to people they're missing anything.
Because they're watching ballet now.
Wasn't
that a great catch?
Yeah.
They just went 97 yards. Oh, my gosh. That was great.
What
an amazing pirouette.
Dude, I love football, and it doesn't bug me so much that guys aren't getting the crap slammed out of them anymore. I'm sorry. It doesn't faze me.
I mean, it upsets me greatly. Watching the NFL product now.
I think you're in the minority.
Complete deception. I'm still going to watch it, though. What am I going to watch instead?
Nothing.
Exactly.
The CFL, the Argonauts, and the Rough Riders? No, you're not going to watch that.
So I get mad. It's just the product quality is just not there. The stats are going to get destroyed. Like, it offends me. I'm literally offended at the number of people who threw 4,900. Yeah.
What were the 5,000 yards?
It was a joke. Like,
it was like three this season. Okay, it was Tom Brady, the quirky Rogers. Looking guy. Aaron Rodgers did. Drew Brees did. And Matt Stafford.
And Matt Stafford. So, like, it's
Eli
four or
hit
five.
It too?
Yeah, 4,900. He hit 4,900.
I was going to say, I didn't think Eli cracked five, but I mean, he's.
That had only happened twice.
In the history before.
In
right?
history yeah. before. That one time it was Marino going off that Super Bowl season.
Yeah.
That was like one of the most unbelievable years. I have to admit, I don't like Dan Marino, but that's unreal what he did. By the way, one reason I hate him though, that was the same year Eric Dickerson set the rushing record. Nobody remembers that.
Totally.
Eric Dickerson never won NFL MVP because, of course, it went to the white quarterback that year. I mean, granted, really good season. Throwing 5,000 yards is pretty G. I'm sorry though. Like, Eric Dickerson rushing for like 2,100 is ridiculous. And nobody talks about that. It bothers me. It bothers me a lot.
It is what it is, man. Shall we painlessly segue into another topic?
Go for it.
All right. I've been fascinated, I'm not going to lie, by all these masseurs coming out saying John Travolta tried to blow him.
I haven't heard this. I got to be honest, man. I'm sorry.
What?
You're blindsiding me here.
Going right from football to something else ultra masculine. Okay.
Where do I sign up for this?
Oh, that's pretty money, man. I want to say a week ago it started coming out. Like, this one masseur leveled charges at Travolta that multiple times while giving him a massage, Travolta, like, pulls the towel down to expose his ass and then comes at him with a hard-on and then goes on saying that, like, Hollywood is run by gay Jews and Travolta is where he is. Because he learned to blow these guys and just give them what they wanted. So far, you're just nodding like, yeah, it's true.
That explains Saturday Night Fever. Like, who do people think he is? He's not Vincent Vega, all right? He's the star of Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, he's a little dancing fruit.
Yeah.
Look at Grease, which I've not seen, but I've heard some of the songs. It's not exactly masculine stuff.
Look who's talking.
Yeah, his like soul kind of 80s thing. Like the one bright light in between Staying Alive, which was a bomb, but at least kind of got some numbers and Pulp Fiction. So the guy says, he comes at him, he says all this, and he's like, yeah, it used to disgust me, but I learned to love it, and I'm better for like having done that. Now, could you learn to love getting it on with a dude, Howard? This isn't like eating your Brussels sprouts. I don't think I could.
Wow, you're really putting me on the spot. I will say
this. I like that you're taking the time to give me an honest answer.
I will say this. He would have to be attractive. I would want to brag to
all
my gay friends.
You wouldn't
want
to slum it, yeah.
I just want to be like, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, that's...
Damn right.
Yeah, you know what? That gave me a little bit of movement down there right on.
Basically, like, if you could go to all your female friends and be like, have you done a guy this hot? Because I have.
Yeah, that could give you some with a girl right there.
So worth it.
They would be like, let me get some of the pixie dust off of you and onto me.
And you know what? If they said, can he come too? And I could make that happen. And that was the only way I was getting like a 10.
Yeah.
She's a 10.
She's a 10. She's a story for the grandkids. You can edit that story.
And imagine like the picture of the three of you together. Oh my gosh. All your friends are just going to ask, how did that happen?
Well, as long as you're Eiffel Towering. As long as you're the Eiffel Tower, not the Lucky Pierre, then whatever. You did what you had to do. Some prices are too high.
Oh, man.
if it's the two of you clasping your hands over top, then that's fine. I don't even know if I like the clasping. Even that might be a little too fruity. Not fingers intertwined like you're having sex in Terminator 1. It's just hands on the sheets. Yeah, so another guy comes out 2 days later. And by the way, I don't know if you'd heard this. They've said for years Travolta's gay. I mean, for a long time, that the whole thing with Kelly Preston is staged. I know there's at least a couple pictures of him, like, kissing a dude pretty much full out on the lips.
I think he's probably just morally practical. I don't know how to describe it. It's like that Woody Allen thing you used to say. Like, being bisexual is the best thing. You just, like, why would you cut off half your options?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's Hollywood,
man.
Was
I drunk and, like, touching your thigh? What's going on?
I said Woody Allen.
Oh, okay.
Woody Allen.
I thought you said I used to say it, though.
I'm not trying to, like, put you out there like that.
I'm like, I don't remember saying that, but maybe we did something.
No, actually, honestly, like, when we were kids, you used to say, I wish I were gay.
Yeah. Well,
if only because then I could have sex with someone who had the same, like, interests.
Smart little kid, yeah.
And, like, sexual drive. No, none of the crazy, like, mind games or neuroses. It's just, like, two dudes who know what's up. Done. That would be easy. Instead,
it is.
I'm straight, and my life is hard.
Yeah, it is. Well, if you're gay, I'm going to say this. You should stay in shape unless you want to be a gay slam pig.
Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, unless
Nelly.
You want to be just the fat guy who's like, I'm going to blow this 9, but he'll never talk to me. I'm just the mouth that he got at 3 in the morning. I'll roll over and take it. But I'll never hear from him again. I'm walking crooked for a week because he broke up with some hot guy and he's all upset about it.
Whereas now, like, I can let myself go and just, like, try to meet people with low self-esteem. I mean,
the older I get and the more my body just goes to hell in a handbasket as I live at home and eat my mom's filthy cooking, the less I realize it is with girls about looks, which is sad because I used to look okay. I used to at least be in shape. I still have the same face, but...
Nah, man, we gotta get you on like the right diet, man. Just like thinking, I want to look as good at 60 as I do today.
No, well, I mean,
I don't know if that can happen, but
I think instant I'm back out that house, the pounds just roll off. Maybe not though. Maybe I'm just tricking myself, but I think they do. My mom just is like a squirrel that learned how to eat out of a vending machine, and it just like dug all these packets full of like. Goldfish and crackers and stuff like that. I mean, that's just how it rolls at my place.
I'm just saying, like, I think this is a good time to be an American who's young. I mean, it sucks to be a baby boomer because, like, you worked hard your entire life to just have your savings crumble before you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whereas, like, us, like, yeah, we're living in squalor at this time. It's hard to, like, make a dollar. But you know what? We've learned enough about, like, basically being able to stay young looking, and I think we value that more than just, like, slaving away at a desk. I meet more people like that today. I mean, I have friends who, like, are aging themselves a little too much.
What, through partying or?
No, they're lawyers, man. Work. They work too much. Like, they all look at me and they're just like, it's kind of weird you're doing what you're doing. I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to look good in 10 years. What are you going
to
look like?
I wake up when I want to, bitch.
Yeah, I'm just like, you are aging yourself. Like, I feel bad for people who I knew were attractive when we started law school together. And today, they look at least 5 years older than me. And I feel bad where it's like you went from 25 to 40.
I'm just hoping the hair doesn't fall out anytime too soon because that is one of those just like you look.
But you
way
can fix
older.
That now, man. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well,
we have so many things.
Stem
that help
cell
you.
Hair soon.
But
and
just
if
some
I gotta
plugs,
pay 10K,
dude.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney got like blatantly. You have a pro athlete who just blatantly gets plugs. I mean, like, it's acceptable now. Like, people just do this.
They got their downside. They just take it from straight strip in the back of your head, and you just have this like scar.
You know, like, just there's Propecia, whatever else
on
the market.
I'm on all that right now.
Okay. Well, hopefully it works for you, man. And just
I've been on
it. Keeps it.
I think it's at least retarded the loss.
Good. I mean, just like, there are things you can do. I think you're going to be good, man. So
I'm
like,
hoping.
Just fix the diet, though. That's the number one thing to keep yourself young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I got to do that. Back to Travolta real fast.
Speaking of
we got
eating.
A couple. Exactly. Speaking of balding slop pigs. Yes, he wears a toupe. Yeah. The crappiest toupe in all of Hollywood.
Oh, man.
His co-star in Grease, I believe, Jeff Conway. I just know Jeff Conway from Taxi. It came out that Jeff Conway's ex-fiance, after a couple of these guys backed off, like I think one was like, you know what, I might have screwed up the date that I said he tried to like pull out his junk on me and stuff like that. But Jeff Conway's ex-fiance comes out and she says, Jeff mentioned in a suicide note from a failed suicide. By the way, how much of a loser do you feel like if you're trying to kill yourself and you can't even do that right?
Man.
That's got to get you down even more. But she was like, he mentioned that he woke up one time to John Travolta going down on him. And that ended their friendship.
John, please don't cross that line.
I wouldn't. I don't care how good you are on the show.
Well, don't hold it against me if I do.
Just to cheer me up. Yeah. I'll just like open one eye surreptitiously, go back to pretending I'm asleep.
This never happened.
Yeah. It was all a dream.
Yeah. That is not how he meant for that to be used.
Yeah. I gotta say, how would you react if you found a friend blowing you?
It depends on the friend.
Yeah.
Going back to last statement.
I wouldn't be too cool with that. I think I'd be like, hey, we're just going to pretend this didn't happen. Let's get you a gay hooker tomorrow, buddy. You obviously need a little something.
Here's my question. What if it was an unattractive female friend?
Oh, that can happen. Who cares? Who cares? Right. Now, here's something you used to say when we were young. Head has no face.
Yeah, no.
You're like, I love that
really wasn't a question. Yeah. I was trying to flip it, and you're right.
No, so, an unattractive woman, but you're asleep, so you really feel like you owe her nothing? I would try to see how far I could go with it, like cock a leg and just bust ass. Just go back to song Z's.
It's like farting on a pet.
Just watch her hair flow back like that Maxell commercial. Well, we should punch out on that note. I think we've got pretty much an hour of material or something like that with the intro and the outro. Howard, thanks as always, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
Hold on. Let me get the outro music going as I grab the mic, which sounds so professional. I am tumbling, playing with the mic.
My life is paid.
Hold on. Surf Rider? Come on. Kick in, Surf Rider. God damn it. Play. There we go. Howard, thank you for coming on.
Always a pleasure. Can't wait for the next show, baby.
Oh. It'll be on sooner than you think. I have to start churning out two a week.
Money.
Very soon.
Maybe we'll use a fake name next time.
That works. Oh, God. You could have a Dija name. I, of course, am John Papagiorgio. This was Papa's Basement. The show's website's in papasbasement.com. I'm on Twitter at Papa's Basement. You also got facebook.com/papasbasement. You want to keep track of us. Anything we need to plug? Oh, yeah. If you go to inpapasbasement.com, there's the iTunes link. Please click on that and subscribe to us via iTunes and rate us positively. I hate that I have to specify that, but I do. Till next week, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.